Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here, 720 WGN. Mm-hmm. All right, so we have a lot still yet to get to, including coming up at the 6 o'clock hour. A pilot on board an aircraft calls for prayer. That's something you don't want to hear.
And said he was praying as well.
Yeah, you don't want to hear that.
Those are two things you don't want to hear.
Don't want to hear. And it's created quite a controversy here because people are like, you know, he has religious freedom to do that. Yeah, he sure does.
It has come down to a religious debate.
Yeah.
To me, I just would
don't
be,
tell me.
It'd be a panic debate because I would be totally panicked if the pilot, if I heard the pilot say that.
I don't want my surgeon praying with me before the surgery either.
No.
What happened to separation of praying and flying?
I don't know. There should be. We'll get to that.
You can personally pray, but your pilot shouldn't tell you to pray.
I personally pray every time I get on a plane, but yes, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I mean, that could cause like a panic. People could jump off the planes.
Especially because there was already reason to panic on this plane, apparently.
All right, we'll tell the story.
Don't tell the story. Let's not give it all away.
All right. Natasha Karecki from Politico is with us. She runs the Illinois branch of Politico. She's the reporter.
She's busy.
She's the one sitting there. Every day I read your morning briefing.
I love it.
And I sit there there's such goofiness going on in Springfield, and I stop and I think to myself, well, we'll cover this today. And then something really goofier happens out of Washington, and there's no time.
That's so true.
You never get to it.
Yeah, D.C. saves us every time, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's before we get to D.C. for a second, because I do have a question, sort of a general sort of media journalism question for you. Like we're going to have a class here or something because I still don't quite understand what's happening in the whole like press conference thing there. But down to Springfield, you know, they've got 4 days left to get something done. Is there hope down there? Do you hear from anybody? Are you talking to any sources that say, yeah, we'll probably get something done?
Well, you know, the fact that Mike Madigan yesterday is taking a turn here and putting up some things that he wants out of this negotiation for the very first time, of course, awfully late in the game. But in any case, you know, there are Republicans who are seeing that as a glimmer of hope that something's going to happen if, you know, the governor then can come around on the other end of this. You know, he's, you know, Madigan saying, hey, SB1, it's a funding bill for education. The governor has said he's 90% behind it, but will veto it because it's giving too much money to Chicago. So, you know, those kinds of things are what Madigan's asking for. Now, Rauner has wanted property taxes, and this is another just very new development. House Democrats did file something today, a bill that's going to be heard early tomorrow morning. So there is some movement. Everyone is well aware of all of the very dire consequences. I mean, that's already happened, but that's certain to happen on Saturday, if nothing
or Monday,
is.
Yeah. When they,
because
when
of the junk bond status would be terrible for us in terms of how much taxpayers would have to pay to borrow.
Right. I mean, what a black eye already that we're undergoing, and that would just be, I think, pretty catastrophic for the future of the state.
Mm. I would say so.
Yeah.
I can't believe
we're here. The whole thing, I mean, Lou Lang will never be the same after talking to me last week.
That was Natasha, you should have heard it.
It was not. It was definitely not. I'll never be the same. He won't be the same.
It was a great speech, though. It was just sort of the top level frustration that many people are feeling. Like, why can't we get this done? Why does it seem that it's about politics and not people?
Right.
And it's reached a boiling point. And you let him have it.
I did. And he's only one guy, but I let him have it. It's like, because it just, the whole thing feels like gross incompetence to me. It just does. It just, it's like, I can't, if you like you went to your dry cleaner, right? And they lost your clothes every time and they kept charging you more to lose your clothes. And then saying, well, we're going to have to work out some deal. I can only pay you for 1/10 of what the clothes are, and we'll get to you in 60 days. Wait, no, 60 months, we'll pay you back for it.
Try on these raggedy clothes that you should bring home with you.
You would choose another dry cleaner, right?
Right, and you know, and I feel like anyone who's pointing fingers at this point, I mean, we're so beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
So just fix it, then move to your campaigns. You could do your campaigning later, just fix what you got to do
Right.
What you need to do right now.
And then run and scream how awful it is that you had to do what you had to do.
Sure.
You know? But right. I mean, but they we do not have to, we not allowed to junk bond status. All right, let's talk about Washington for a second because I want to get your thought on this because you know you know the kids at Politico, they're everywhere now.
They
Politico's
are.
Got a very large Washington presence, right?
Oh yes.
Yes, and apparently Natasha's caught in the middle of a wind tunnel, so we're going to apologize.
There are a lot of tunnels in Washington.
Yeah,
D.C.
That seems the way it is. What do you think? If you had to guess, you're just guessing here, just surmising. Mm-hmm. If you had to guess, what is up with the White House press operation that they do not want to put cameras? They want to cut off the cameras now during the daily press briefing, and they just want an audio exchange to be released later. What do you think their thought process is there?
Well, you know, for one thing, the main thing is that they kept stepping on each other, right? You have the press secretary going up there and professing something to the public, and then the president would tweet an hour later completely contradicting what they had just finished saying. So it was creating these horrible headlines and all kinds of mini scandals, right? So, you know, and that, and as we know, people were really tuning in to Sean Spicer. It was like he's become a mini celebrity. They're watching him. And, you know, what's coming out of there is direct contradiction to what Trump is saying. So that is one thing. The other thing is in the background, I mean, we've heard a lot about Trump talking about trying to replace Spicer. The problem is everyone that he's reaching out to doesn't want to do it. And the people who want the job, Trump doesn't want. So there's a lot of that. So here we have Sean Spicer coming back day after day. And this, I think, is what they've come up with, some kind of compromise where, you know, we're just going to stay on the same, you know, keep hitting the same notes and, you know, and if there is a big contradiction, well, you're not going to have that TV clip over and over, like, you know, side by side with Sean Spicer saying one thing or Huckabee saying one thing and, you know, Trump's tweet, you know.
But you will, though, because we're not going to stop. I mean, the press in general is not going to stop covering this. So there's going to be audio of it. And if they just decide they're not even going to do that, then it'll be like an unprecedented moment. It will be an unprecedented moment, and certainly the last half century, but specifically in the last, you know, at least 30 years, where there isn't a daily briefing or at least a 3 or 4 time a week briefing, and there is and you know, there's cameras there, and they answer, and it's generally very boring. I mean, when Josh Earnest was doing it, which was just the most ridiculous name ever for a White House press secretary, when Ernest. Josh Earnest was doing it, I mean, like, no one would watch
it. You see one clip on the nightly news.
Maybe.
Maybe if something special happened, like a birthday, and there'd be a laugh or something, that would appear somewhere.
I mean, it was like there was a...
Never.
But there was also not as much going on. I mean, you know, to the I guess the president would like to take credit for being honest about this during the campaign. He was going to do a lot of stuff, and he does try to do a lot of stuff. And so there's always a lot of drama and motion, and he likes chaos, and he likes all that. I think it's really interesting, though. I think you bring up an important point, which is that Sean Spicer become very popular. And Sean Spicer, and remember, you know, that grip and grin that the president had with James Comey, mm-hmm. right? The days after the inauguration, and he shakes his hand. The one where Comey said he was trying to blend into the curtains so that he wouldn't be noticed. Mm-hmm. Remember? I mean, it's like and then the president calls him across the room. And what did the president say on camera, on microphone? He goes, "You're more famous than I am now." You know, sort of. And that's, and then he gets fired.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, I just think that the president doesn't like to. The president wants to be the guy in the administration that everybody's looking to. He doesn't want to. He, you know, for better or for worse, he wants to be the center of all that attention.
See this
right? Well, and you know, the other point here is, you know, and this is, if you step back, it's a trend that a lot of politicians like to do. It's a way to try to get coverage without accountability. You know. Like, let's turn off the cameras. Let's not take questions from reporters, as you know, our governors. Has been doing more and more lately. He was criticized quite a bit last week when he had that budget address to an empty room. You see more people going Facebook Live and, you know, all Daniel Biss, he announced his, I'm not saying that he's has an accessibility issue, but they're going straight to the people, so to speak, and avoiding the press, which sometimes means you just don't get questions on things by people who are following it very closely and can kind of call you out on your inconsistencies.
Yeah, sure.
And today got really testy with Sean Spicer and Jim Acosta from CNN because, it's the same kind of thing. First of all, Sean Spicer kind of was, Acosta just tried asking a question, and Spicer said, there's no camera on. Why are you asking a question? So there he is kind of mocking him. And then it just got really tense. Like, why aren't the cameras on?
Because there has been no straight answer. Is that it? Because that's what he kept saying. Can you just give us an answer to that? Can you just tell us why are the cameras off? Why are they off?
Yeah. Finally, some other media jumped in and said, just answer this question so we can move beyond it. And Spicer said, look, the president's going to speak in the Rose Garden later. I don't want to, overshadow him later on in the day, and so forth. So,
got it.
But again, reporters are seeing it as a way to erode the accessibility. And it's a room. The White House is supposedly the people's house, right?
Yeah, this is not a campaign. There is a difference. I mean, you would think that there would be some respect for that, for that tradition, because that tradition is really about it. About creating transparency in the White House. And if you have a White House that wants to run and hide from things and hide, in the bushes, literally and figuratively, that tells you that they're not proud of what they're doing and that there's, they're not going to be out there, with full force going, yeah, no, here's our position and this is why we're going to win on it. It's a bad sign for all of us. Natasha, thank you very much.
Thanks, Natasha
Karecki from Politico.
Thank you.
Illinois editor for that.